You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas to talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hey.
How goes it?
You called when I was within 6 feet of a beautiful woman, and I was experiencing her electrical energy. I had not seen her in a long time. Of course, I didn't recognize her first because she had her mask up to her eyeballs, so I had no idea who she was, but she recognized me in my insanely ridiculous balaclava that I wear to emphasize the stupidity. She actually recognized me. I don't know how, because I don't even recognize me.
That's awesome.
When I'm wearing this stupidity.
So you experienced a bit of humanity today, of kind of the old days.
Oh, man, it was lovely. She's a really beautiful woman. And,
That's awesome.
And she was telling me, she said, "You don't know my story?" I said, "No, what is your story?" Her story was, and this is a sort of another upsetting element of globalism, she went to India to set up our company's call center.
Okay.
Where they laid off, of course, the entire North American call center and now put it in India. And and the savings are about 90-95%, if you can imagine.
Wow.
Insane.
Wow.
And when she wanted to come back to North America, all the flights were canceled. This was back when this started.
No.
But she was stuck there for 4 months.
No way.
Yeah,
oh my
she couldn't get out. And I think the Canadian government sent we call them repatriation flights. And, that's how she got back. Yeah. Luckily she, is Indian as well. So I didn't ask her, but maybe she had some contact over there. But,
wow. Did you get her phone number? We could get her on the show. That would be a fun
topic. Yeah, really. Well, I know who she is. Until I get dismissed from the company for not vaccinating.
Yeah,
which will happen within the next year.
Maybe not.
Well, luckily I'm just a dumb trucker. So I can drive a truck anywhere, and I'm an American, so when say the great state of Texas separates, Florida,
right.
I'll go there.
Yep.
I don't mind. I'm willing to relocate. I'm not married to this country at all. I don't want to leave, but it's a possibility. Anyway, so I was talking, I'm a little more aggressive now, and I was just telling her about vaccines and vaccine damage. And I'm actually kind of convinced that diabetes type 1 is an autoimmune disease. And I think it's from vaccination, for sure, or pesticides.
Yeah.
But because, of course, the official story is they have no idea. No clue. We don't have a clue what it is. They like to blame things on genetics, saying, but unfortunately, our entire family tree is free of diabetes, one or two. And none of us are really obese. There's none of the contributing factors that you might think
right.
of. like cancer. We have no idea what causes cancer. Not a clue. Yet we spend billions on research, but we get so close, but then it's like everything else Big Pharma does, the goalposts move, and we really don't have any idea what causes it. Yeah, right. They know exactly what causes it.
Did you coin the phrase Big Pharma?
I don't think so. I don't have any original thoughts, as I've told you. I think I lifted it from somebody. But I don't remember who it is. I can't really attribute it right now. I don't know.
It's
but I love it. I've adopted it. Yeah. It's mine. I'm taking it.
Good. Well, I just had a nice experience. So I had an attorney to our dear governor.
Yeah.
Send back the NOL that I sent.
Oh, good.
It was actually a copy of the NOL, and she sent it back and basically said, we don't acknowledge this. So she inserted herself into the NOL, which of course within the NOL states clearly that A, you're violating the law if you copy this because of my copyright copy claim. So that was fun. And then two, you're agreeing to pay $10 million to insert yourself in this. We're cool with you doing that, but, you know, you will receive a bill for $10 million. So I just sent my true bill to her. And I needed to have it notarized and all of that. And I did that at this Indian-owned pack mail place, so I don't have to stand in line for an hour and a half at our post office. And I'll pay the extra $10 to do that. And it ended up with just me and this lovely Indian woman. And she had her, when the person in front of me left, she saw I didn't have a mask. She pulled her mask under her chin, and we were having our conversation. And then near the end, and still it was empty, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you believe that there's a pandemic? And she looks at me, and it's like she didn't know what to say. And so she just kind of sheepishly nodded her head, you know.
Yeah.
And
she doesn't know what to say about it, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, well, exactly. So I said, well, I just want to let you know, there's not. It's all a lie. And then she kind of took this deep breath, and she says, I speak to my sister about this. We're talking about why are all of these cases in America, but how does this virus not impact India? Because we have nothing except you have, it's like so much everywhere else. And I'm like, and so we proceeded to have a really good conversation. And at the end, I said, look, you really sound like you're open to some, you know, investigation. I said, would you mind if I took your email address and I just emailed you some links that I've collected?
Because
I have in my show notes, I have a whole repository now of different links. And she says, oh, please, I'll watch them. So I sent them to her and said, have a great day. And I did explain to her, I said, please, if I accomplish nothing the rest of the year, if you just please know that you're not going to catch something and die, and you are not an asymptomatic silent assassin, you're not going to get grandma sick. I said, that will just make my year. And that's when I asked her if I could send her some additional information. And I said, and please, when anybody isn't in here, take that damn thing and do like you just did and keep it off. And please, when you're out and about, just keep it off. And if you have any kids or grandkids, please, please, please don't make them wear that mask. And she was, it just looked this great sign of relief. And she, and so it was just fun. It was like the first time I ever evangelized.
Good for you. Well, you and I had a similar experience then, right then and there. There's some sync for you,
right.
John LeBlanc.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, John, how are you?
Yeah, we got it.
But And you know, I've been fired up. You probably saw my telegram where my sister is just, you know, just insane.
I saw that.
That just drove me wild. So I've been going back and forth with her this morning. I woke up and I collected four articles, you know, that are four videos, and I reached out to her and I basically said, look, I just feel it's on my heart to hit send with this stuff. You can choose to view it or not, but you know, I have to send it. And, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I know. At least my sister was honest with me. She says, I never look at any of your links, so you can stop. Okay.
Right.
Stop. Yeah, that's good.
That's fine.
My brother said, I don't look at most of your links. And I said, I don't like people that link dump either, but I said, if I give you a little bit of information with the link, will you look? He said, yeah, maybe. Then he went back to me saying, well, I know you don't look at my links because I like to play tennis with people. If you lob a link at me, I'll lob one right back. And he said, you lob them too fast. That means you're not reading mine. I said, well, a lot of times you're sending me the New York Times and Washington Journal or Wall Street Journal. And I said, a lot of them are paywall sites. So I have to admit, I don't click a lot of them because I can't get on them anyway. And I'm not paying for
profit. Right.
But I said to him, if you call me and talk to me about it, then I'll probably read it. But you got to follow up, man.
Yeah.
You can't just do a link dump on me because we're not on the same page. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge we're not on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to convince you, but I just want to know. I tell my relatives, I'm only talking to you because we're related. Because if we weren't related, I would never continue this conversation at all.
Right.
No way. I said, there's no way. I don't try and wake the dead. It's not reasonable. But because we're related and we have some kind of connection, I feel bad. You have children, and I feel bad for them. That's why I talk. That's why I talk to relatives. But it's a very, very low return investment. Very low. Negative return, really.
You'll be happy to know, as you're talking, I just found a pen and a piece of paper and I wrote that down. I really love how you said that. I don't try to wake the dead. I love that. That's gold.
Yeah, I think Marcus said that. Full credit to him. How do you wake the dead? You don't. You can't wake the dead. You can put a little bell on their toe, and when you bury them, if the bell rings, then you can dig them up and see what happens. But you really can't do much. You can't do much, and don't waste your time.
You can dress them up like Bernie, a weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, but I'd rather, instead of talking to someone who has no chance, I'd rather talk to you, and I'd rather watch a video that somebody sent me that I really trust, and I know I'm not wasting my time. Like Jan Eric, he seems to know me quite well. Everything he sends is pretty much gold, and I post him almost all of his stuff as well.
Wow.
Because he doesn't, so he's really tuned in, and he just sent me a video of a woman who I emailed to get on our show. I can't remember her name right now. Diana somebody. I put her on FacoTube. And she found a document from Johns Hopkins called the SPARS pandemic, SPARS, which is planned from 2025 to 2028. Have you heard of that simulation?
Whoa. No, it's on FacoTube?
Yeah, she does a really great job outlining. You can download the document. She uploaded the document to one of these spammy download sites, and it kept popping up a million pop-up ads. But I wouldn't mind reading the document, the simulation.
Mm-hmm.
She read a lot of the highlights. I probably don't have to read it, but you can download the document yourself maybe and have a look-see at what 2025 has in store for you. And
wow.
Well, we know it's not going to end. We know that. And no. In the document, there was some allusion to fractured areas of belief, which is implying that the United States will definitely be fractured into different areas, as we saw in the America 2050 projection by the Rockefellers. They already have it divided up. It's already planned. It's already, you have mega regions and mega cities. That's it. The states will be gone.
So not fractured by those who are under the spell and those who are outside the spell, but on.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe. Because, you know, how will the non-believer, how will we get together other than being in the same camp together? I mean, how would we find each other? I have to look at this realistically here.
Well, especially if they do a full power grab or control over the internet, you know, that I don't understand if they can do that entirely or not, but, you know.
I think that'll be linked to your ID. I don't think you'll be able to log into the internet without ID. And that's how they're really.
They're going to have to use the dark web, whatever the hell that is. I haven't explored that yet.
Well, it's not that complicated. You get a browser that doesn't go right to the site to request it. It goes through some kind of blockchain encrypted pathway, and it's going to be a lot slower because it's going to hop all over the place before you get it. But yeah, I can see. Yeah, you're just going to, they're just going to, the websites that you hit aren't going to know where you came from, and perhaps their address is going to be scrambled and encrypted and hard to find.
Right.
There's no direct pathway to knock it off or find it, for instance. I don't know. Like everything else, every lock they create, someone will have the key, but it'll just make it less accessible. And I don't like Twitter any more than I like YouTube, but for some reason, they're very accessible to the masses. And that is the only reason why they are successful and Fakeologist is not successful. It's because they're easy to find. And the people that have no ability to use technology can pretty much get there. They can find it. And that's where their power is. Because FakeoTube is great, but if you can't find it, it's not valuable.
You know what, and this is just, you know, this is me raising my hand saying I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And so as I'm going back and forth with my sister, I'm thinking, you know, of my argument, how I'm going to send her this all-inclusive text. It's like, I know BitChute is the only place that you can really, or a great repository to find truth. And I'm like, so I went there and I just searched for PCR test, and then the hashtag PCR test popped up, and then I'm like, brilliant. And then it just hit me. I'm like, God, why am I not using BitChute like this, like Google? Instead of going to Google or YouTube or anything, I just need to go to BitChute.com and put in a search term if I'm interested in PCR tests. And then all these wonderful videos popped up.
Yeah.
So I just sent her the link to the search results PCR test.
Yeah. But don't forget, you got to be careful because spammers use hashtags too. So she might come up with a lot of garbage too. So.
Well, I looked at them, and it was like the usual suspects of, you know, like the founders talking about how it's all bullshit. And there were a lot of those kind of videos. So.
Well, that's why I like want to keep FakeoTube sort of free from the Jew bashing people that flood BitChute, because they've taken over BitChute in the comments. So if you go there and read the comments there, you're going to get the usual, the Jews.
Yeah.
That's one thing YouTube and Twitter are pretty good at keeping off. Even if you believe it, it does turn people off because they've been trained to fear that comment. And trained to repel it and everything associated with it. And I'm not saying it's not true or it's true. I'm just saying it is a fact that it's a repulsion technique that the controllers use. And they've always used it.
By the way, yesterday was the 21st, and I just want to go on record as it being the 22nd that today I'm not seeing in 5D because I thought that was the whole thing that there was going to be.
Oh,
the
was 21st it? I never even heard that one.
Yeah, the veil was going to be lifted, and we were all going to see in 5D. And I'm pretty sure I'm seeing the same thing I saw yesterday. But
I thought just Jupiter. I thought just Saturn and what other planet were lined up pretty good, and then it was a bright light.
Yeah.
That's what I heard was happening. Did that happen?
Yes. I don't know. I didn't see anything or feel anything, but I just wanted to testify. I'm still seeing the way I always. So,
the only thing I know about the 21st is that it's a dark day, and when it's cloudy up here, it's really miserable because darkness equals evil in my mind. And today, well, we really have the three dark days, the 22, 23, 24, the three darkest days of the year of the Northern Hemisphere. So on. But I always think today, the day after, is the first day where the days get longer and there's more, a little more light. We get an extra 3 minutes of light today. So that always makes
nice.
Me happy. That makes
Good,
me
man.
Happy. So today's day
you're
will
on
be
the,
a little longer.
You're on the right side of darkness, baby.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the cause of illness for so many people is it's dark. And they're caged up in their house, breathing in the recycled air in their perfectly sealed houses that have formaldehyde and plastic and all kinds of other toxins that they just keep rebreathing.
Yeah.
That's why people experience illness. Now, hold on. I got to change Bluetooth. Just give me one sec. Because one dies and one's reborn. Can you hear me?
Yep. By the way, I don't know if you saw in Amanda's telegram, she had a wonderful rant.
Who's this? Say that again?
Amanda Vollmer.
Yeah. I've been watching her again, yeah.
Her telegram, she had a wonderful rant this morning that just kind of summarized a lot of things. And,
oh, good.
I made a special note to copy and paste it all into its own note, just as
okay.
reference, just because she just did such a nice job summarizing, you know, the bullshit of germ theory and just why you get sick and she talked about a test that you could do, an empirical test, that if you want to see the onset of flu symptoms, go buy four of the biggest, you know, nastiest candy bars and eat them all at once. And within a very short period of time, you will see the onset of flu symptoms because you're poisoning yourself.
Oh, okay. I eat candy bars one at a time, and it is my Achilles
yep.
heel candy.
Yep.
So I try not to overeat, but so far I've been pretty good. Pretty good. I take my vitamin D. I'm down to once a week for green drink. My wife doesn't like making it anymore, but that's my fault. I should do it myself. But, yeah. It's really the lack of sunlight and the breathing of recycled interior air that's not good. So you got to get out every day. I think you guys in Florida do better because you got more opportunity to be outside because it's so nice down there.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I mean, every night, now look, I've given up like all vices, you know, almost all vices. So the one that I haven't is I usually have a cigar every night and sitting on my back porch. And,
You inhale it?
Oh, hell no. No, it's just a kind of ritual what? Of it.
Does anyone inhale cigar smoke?
Man, you'd have to have a big set of nuts to inhale cigar smoke. I think it would be too much. But I think, you know, you can exhale, you know, and then slowly. And then what I'll do is sometimes I'll just exhale slowly, and there's kind of some smoke in front of your face, and I'll like breathe it in because it smells good, but not take it directly into my lungs. It's just a little bit of waft of the smoke.
So where is it going then? Is it in your mouth and through your nasal cavity?
Oh, I just like, you know how you can keep the back of your mouth closed if you stuck something in your mouth? I mean, that's what I do. I just bring in some smoke and just kind of taste it with my tongue and then blow it out.
Okay. So it's in your mouth.
I'm sure I'm getting some nicotine in my mouth. I recognize that. But, you know, look, it's calorie free and I don't get drunk. So, I'm not going to beat myself up. But what made me think of that is I do get a lot of, probably because it takes me about an hour and a half to smoke a cigar, and I will get a lot of fresh air out of my backwards.
It's time, you have time to think when you're meditating over a cigar, I suppose. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm like you. I'm going through FacoTube and, you know, everything else. It's like I'm pretty shitty inside my own head with just myself. It's like I need something to look at and think about stuff. But
yeah,
it is nice downtime. Now, what I should probably do if I'm a really smart guy is, okay, instead of sitting in that little rocking chair out back and enjoying it and relaxing on your butt, why don't you take that same cigar and just go for an hour and a half walk? That's probably the right move, you know. But,
yeah, well, you work out, though. So you're doing stuff. You're doing intense workouts, so I think you're covered there. I walk because I don't do any of that. And as you know, Ontario area where I live is under the, I guess, the highest lockdown right now. The entire province is under lockdown now. I have no idea. It's not affecting me so much because I'm still essential, but I'm really concerned if they decide to shut down the Amazon and food distribution centers. The food distribution and just the big Costco, Amazon, Walmart distribution centers.
You know what I bought for myself for Christmas?
What?
And my wife and daughter, they're going to go on a ski trip in Colorado. I'm dropping off at the airport early. So I have a week to myself, and I followed John Jay's lead. He turned me on to this, but he has been pressure jarring. Like, it's like canning, you know, fruits and vegetables and stuff, but he's been doing it with meat to where you basically have this jarred meat that, you know, you aren't dependent upon refrigeration or your freezer or whatever. But if indeed there is a meat shortage, you know, he has like a whole room that's just like shelves of jarred meat. So
do you buy your own meat?
So anyway,
or do you buy through that?
Yeah, I mean, I used to get all my meat at Costco. So this weekend I'll probably go back and sign back up to Sam's Club, but
I'm wondering if the price of meat has gone up there.
Oh, the price? Oh, hell yes. That's why, you know, the best time to get toilet paper is before the pandemic breaks out, right? So anyway, I got one of those contraptions, and I'm going to make it my mission to, I'm just going to jar a lot of meat because I think they are going to screw with food and specifically proteins this year. I think that's kind of in the playbook.
Oh, yeah, I agree. So wait, you jar meat and then you don't need to refrigerate it?
No, so basically it's like, it's hard to say. It's you should say canned meat, but you put them in these mason jars. So you can cook meat like you can brown hamburger or whatever, and fill up a mason jar with it, and then you put it in this machine that pressure steams it, and you can do the same thing with raw meats as long as you put salt in it, you know, a big old thing of salt on top of the meat. And
yeah,
then when you, I guess it takes all the air out, or I don't know what it does, but
it cures
you can
it.
Put seven. It what?
It's curing meat. They used to cure
yes.
meat before refrigeration.
Yeah. Right. It's a preserver. So you're preserving everything. And then what you can do is if you put it in any place that'll be 75 degrees and below, so, you know, it and we live in times now to where things are refrigerated, I mean air conditioned, but even if not, you can find a place in your house to where it's not going to...
Yeah, the basement.
So anyway, basically it's shade, and you they'll last for 1 to 3 years, the meats, so... you know, I just, and then guess what? If you're like 9 months from now and there hasn't been any kind of disaster, you just start eating the meat that you preserved earlier, you know, and save yourself a trip to the grocery store. I don't know. It's a project. Todd needs a project.
It's good to know how to do it. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to know how to do it. I like that. Maybe I'll look that up.
Well, the other thing is,
let me know how
now that I've been, yeah, you bet. I, now that I've been, you know, doing this, this fasting diet, it's like, you know, I'm eating a meal every 72 hours. And so what you realize quickly is that,
you don't need to eat that
fruit.
Much.
Well, what you realize is that fruit, or when you used to satisfy your sweet tooth with a candy bar, you can take a piece of fruit, and it tastes better than a candy bar ever did in your life. And so one of the things John Jay said that he suggested was getting these canned peaches, but there's so much syrup, fructose in that shit that I want to learn how to, because I love peaches, but so I'm going to figure out how to preserve peaches without all the sugar.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
don't forget that sugar is glucose fructose.
Exactly.
High fructose corn syrup, which is toxic.
Yes. So, you know, I think it's like, look, if we can figure out how to do the kind of stuff our great grandparents used to do, it's probably not bad skills to learn, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In 2021. Crazy as that seems. But,
what is your prediction for 2021? Better or worse?
Worse. Much worse.
Okay.
Because it's all going to be centered around this crazy vaccine. You got people that believe it's their functional savior, like my sister. Bring on the vaccine, brother. And then you have, those.
Quack-scene. I like the quack-scene.
Quack-scene. And then, you have people like us who are really going to be, you know, in harm's way. Our decisions to be true to our own bodies is going to have consequences that's going to hurt, I think. I mean, it's going to cost jobs. It's going to cost access. And that's going to suck. But you know what? I'm up for it because I know there's lots of other really good, smart people who are too. We're not in this alone.
Well, I think the whole medical field is against vaccines. I think there's a majority of people that work in the medical area that are against it.
Yeah.
They see firsthand. You know, you and I, we don't see vaccine damage. That's not our business. But a pediatrician, they must see it all the time. And this brave pediatrician in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, did you see he did that study between his own children born into his practice, and 500 of them chose not to vaccinate at all, and they have the fewest number of any autoimmune diseases. And like I said earlier, type 1 diabetes, I am certain it's a vaccine injury autoimmune disease. I am certain of it.
Man,
than glyphosate, which of course is the number one toxin in our food why.
I think your instincts are dead on.
Yep. Yeah, so, and this quaxine is the least tested, most experimental, insane invention ever. So even if you like the idea of vaccine, this one isn't even related to the previous ones. This one is so experimental, so bypassing everything. And it's only being issued under an emergency order. It's not even going with their normal crazy rules. This one bypasses all the rules. It's insane. You'd have to.
It is insane.
You'd have to be crazy to take it, even if you believe in these damn things, which I no longer do. Not at all.
But Ab, I mean, I'm using my sister, who is a retired nurse. She's a smart woman. I'm using her text as my basis. Here you have somebody who's in the medical sphere, and she is believing that it is the functional savior of society, this vaccine.
Crazy.
So these people who are inviting it, it's because they're getting zero news that's alternative in any way. So, you know, they're never going to believe it because that habit is not going to change. They're already dead, as you said earlier. You can't wake the dead.
America's never been fatter, more medicated, more sick than the history of the country. And probably goes for Canada and other first world nations. They've never been more drugged up. They've never been more obese. They've never been sicker. And just the dangers, and I know I have the disease, of these smartphones where they cut your attention span off. They short-circuit your dopamine, your response levels in your brain. They probably wreck your eyes. I mean, we're just ripe for the culling, man. We are ripe.
Right. Well, this weekend when I uploaded and I told you about it's like an hour, 43-minute video of the woman where I was like, she just went next level. She was talking about how easy it's going to be to get people to enter into the next phase, which is going to be virtual reality, to where people are going to just invite the fact that technology will advance to such a level that they can put on their little goggles or whatever their, you know, reality technology is, and they can live a whole different life just sitting in their little pod. And it's like you can see it's not that far away because it's a whole new adventure out there, and it's giving you the dopamine hits, you know, and adventure and everything. And meanwhile, you're sitting in, you know, the mushrooms could grow in the room that you're sitting in all day. I can totally see it to where that they're just going to be harvesting us while we're in our little pods, you know, totally dissociating with other human beings.
Exactly. And the other thing, this woman had a little graphic in the video that she just did. The one that talked about the SPAR outbreak in 2025. What's it called? SPAR? And one of the graphics was, they said the electrical field of your heart is about 6 feet.
Okay.
And of course, we're told to separate 6 feet. And I've told you, and you've told, I think you know, when you stand beside someone, you can feel energy. And maybe you're just feeling your body heat, because we're pretty hot inside. We're 36 degrees Celsius, which is well over 100, so Fahrenheit. So you can feel the person. You can smell them. You can't taste them usually, but you really can get an energy level. And when you're 6 feet apart and all covered up, you don't get anything. They may as well be a tree.
That's a really good, interesting point.
Oh, yeah. But the idea that this woman I met today, I didn't know who the hell she was because I couldn't see her.
Yeah.
And she diddled up her hair a bit. And then she pulled her mask down. I didn't even ask. She just yanked it right. I said, oh, hi. Of course, I got her name wrong, but I got it mostly right. But, yeah, it's so amazing seeing and being there just another human being, and we're all being separated forever, and it's just so awful.
It is. I keep searching, like when I go to the Publix grocery store or whatever. I mean, I literally am the only one not wearing a mask, and I mean, I just am looking for somebody not wearing a mask so that I can just go say hi. You know, it's like, hey, I just want to talk to someone where I can look at their lips and smile and hey, and I'm starved for it. I think we all are, you know.
Well, we're going to have to start a new community, maybe with Peggy Hall or Marcus or whoever starts it, and just go there. I already asked my wife. Yep. She doesn't want to go to California, though. She hates California. So I said, well,
yep,
maybe Texas then. Texas, Florida. Just, you know, have to go somewhere, I think.
Well,
I don't know what
the
Trumpster has in mind for January.
Texas, here's my take. Texas is going to become the next California because all the people from California are going to Texas, and they're going to fuck that state up. They're just going to be blue creep. So I think that Florida, you know, I mean, I'm biased, but Florida, look, we've Governor DeSantis, for whatever reason, seems to be on the right side of this. And but I don't trust any. You don't get installed at that level without being part of the, you know.
Although he was promoting Patient Zero. That was disturbing.
Yes,
the hell is that
was
about?
So I think he's part of the control group of being a kind of a dissenting state.
You're right.
The people.
Yeah.
Can we still get the majority of them to wear their masks even though it's more relaxed? And I think they've proven that you can. So and this is the other thing that hit me. How about this mask thing requirement? How about it being what really vets out the dissenters? So the big dissenters who have the balls to swim upstream, like me, you know, we are all over the place on these CCTV cameras or whatever they are, to where they know me really well because I'm the only one that they can spot. So I'm sure I'm on some kind of list.
Yeah, you may as well have a big yellow flag over here coming out of your head saying, hey, I'm over here. Pick me.
Right.
Well, we already know there's technology that they've been bragging about that can detect people that don't have a mask and maybe lock the door, set an alarm off. Because ultimately they want the AI to do all the work, where the AI won't open the door, the AI will shine a light on you. Because person-to-person conflict can be messy, but if a gate just shuts in front of you, okay, you can yell at the gate, but it's still not going to open.
you can yell at the gate, and if you're if they can't detect that you've been jabbed with whatever the hell nanobot they put in you, your retina scan is not going to open up the door to your pod, you know. So your social score is going to reflect accordingly. It's that's why, look, I have real sour predictions for 2021.
I'm with you. I'm with you, buddy.
Lots darker. But, and you know, I suffered from it this last week a lot, which is why I didn't even talk to you about doing a show Sunday night. It's just been fatigue. It's like,
I got fatigue too. I got a lot of fatigue too. I'm glad you didn't call.
Yeah.
I've been going to bed at 8 o'clock on the weekend and 9 o'clock the other days. I don't even sit at the computer.
Yeah.
I go home.
Yep.
And it's dark when I go to work, dark when I come home, and I'm just dead.
Wow.
If I can get a half hour walk in, I try. Otherwise, I just lay down and I value my sleep. I'm pretty sure I sleep more in the winter anyway, but because you have to. Yeah. So that's fine. Play fire. I have 3 days in a row off around Christmas. So because our family festivities are all canceled except for one Zoom meeting on Christmas Eve, I'll be home. So we
I have an idea. I have an idea that we could promote.
Yeah.
What about this? What about, and I'd be happy to have it on Christmas. What about having a Zoom meeting where we give everybody the link, and anybody who is at home, not with family because of all of this COVID bullshit, let's just have hey, how are you? Call in, say hello. No agenda, really. Just be kind of a community of people.
Yeah,
I think that'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, put it up. Let's go.
It should
be good this year. Usually when I have a Christmas show, no one shows up because they're all doing stuff. But at least where I live, the guideline says don't. But
yeah.
We Canadians are so obedient. They're not getting together at all. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Let's do it.
I'm writing a note. That sounds fun. That's a good use of our time. It's positive. We can
Maybe make it around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're eating a Christmas dinner at 4 or 5 o'clock.
Or
you can make it in the evening. If you make it at 1, the Europeans can come though. It's better for the Europeans.
Yeah. We'll do 1 o'clock. That sounds great.
And we love the Europeans.
Yeah. We do love the Europeans.
And they finally figured out how to stop all the cheap flights that kept the Europeans buzzing around Europe. Now nobody can fly.
Oh.
Greta's dream. She's getting her Christmas wish, Greta. No flying, no unnecessary flying, or no flying at all.
Greta.
In Europe.
Greta got her dream.
She got her Christmas wish. No one's using unnecessary air travel. Well, there's no real air travel. It's just the elites. The elites got their Gulf Streams going nuts right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's got to be nice for them. Less air traffic control and
less
plebes out of the way.
Clear stock across the Atlantic. Only 3 planes in your way. I wonder if they can go faster with no air traffic, just like on the highway.
That's a good question. Good question. I don't know.
When you travel across, when you travel, air travel, you have to stay in your lane. There are lanes in the sky just to keep people from randomly crossing paths. So you think that United States to, say, London, England pathway would be wide open. You could just probably knock the speed up a mock or two and just burn across the ocean there.
Probably.
Because there's no one way.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. If it's a
You got to ask your boss, who probably has his own Gulfstream service that he uses.
Well, he really uses it to get his kids to and from the Hamptons. So
his
kids like University of Chicago and stuff. So he'll send his little plane to get them and bring them home.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's the way to go. That's the way to go, eh?
It is the way to go. And then my other boss, he got a new puppy, and he couldn't wait for the standard air travel. So he sent a jet to get it. It was $35,000 pet pickup round trip.
You know that happens all the time. You know that, yeah. There's just two kinds of people in the world. People that have all the money and the rest of us, which is all of us, really.
Yeah.
It's such a small group. And they're just having the time of their lives, culling and screwing with the herd right now. And I'm sorry. It's the elite. It's the trillionaires. They're having a great time. This must be just heaven to them.
If they aren't having a good time, something's wrong. But I, you know, it is, I guess power, like alcohol or drug abuse or whatever, when you get a taste of it, the compulsion just becomes stronger, you know? So, and you probably have a great fear of loss all the time. But what if you lost what you have now? I'm serious. I think that's why they say, you know, money doesn't bring happiness, is because that fear of loss probably expands as well. Whereas those people who've lost it all or don't have anything. I remember when I filed bankruptcy, man, I went through a period of time to where it was like the pressure of the world was off of me. And oddly, I finally felt at peace. I'm like, there's only one way to go from here. You know, I'm kind of at bottom.
I'm talking about the guys with trillions, though. I don't think there's any risk at a certain level. When you're that high, I think it would be very hard to fall back down because you're going to be so diversified and just have so much money. You don't have just, say, one pile of gold. And I think they live pretty well, and so do their children.
And so all of their servants.
Yeah, their children, if they stay the course, stay on message, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, this little plebe is going to go get my workout in, so good talking with you.
Nice chatting with you. Good job. I have another – I didn't put up another call because I've just been too tired, but I'm going to mash these together probably or put them up as soon as I can.
This
is a great call. Excellent talking.
For anyone out there, listening, if you happen to get this up before Christmas.
Oh, I will. I'll do it tonight.
Yeah, if anyone out there is listening, if you go to t.me/UncleOdd and join the Telegram group, I will send out a Zoom invite for Christmas Day, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And if you'd like to call in to the Zoom, you can call in. You don't have to video in, or better, if you do join us by video and we can see you, that would be awesome. But let's just plan a couple hours from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. and just to get to know you. Hi, how are you? Put a face with a name or a voice with a name and just kind of celebrate the fact that we are, you know, not under a spell. And I think that's worth celebrating.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And bring your stories. Bring your COVID
stories. Yeah. Bring your stories. Why are you not with family?
Yeah. Well, you guys are under no lockdown restrictions at all in Florida. Is that right?
Zero.
Man, what's that like? Yeah.
Other than seeing people with masks, and, you know, I don't go out to eat much, so I can't really testify to the restaurants that, I mean, they haven't closed restaurants or anything like that. I mean, the capacity is probably 50%, you know, is my observation. But,
oh, really? We have done something.
Yeah, so you can, it's not all outdoor dining and stuff, but man, there are some places, it's just nuts. They're literally destroying small business, and you know that. It's like, that is the plan, on purpose with intent. You get rid of all of them, you put them all into poverty, and you just get them sucking on the teat just for sustenance. And,
or at the state store, basically. You're going to have to work at the state-sponsored store, whatever the big guys are left. And you'll need to get vaccinated. And if you don't work somewhere, then you'll get the guaranteed income and get your food, electronic food stamps, your electronic digital dollars, and that's it.
And I used to kind of snicker and laugh and giggle at my wife, who grew up in communist Russia, who would tell me stories that they could only buy meat twice a year in Russia. And I never believed, it was just so hard for me to believe, but it was true. It was on November 8th, which is their kind of like, it's the day they celebrate all the people who died in wars. And then on New Year's.
Hey, we got to get your wife to explain communism to us. You have to do a show with her. God, you got a first witness, for God's sake. That's amazing. You got a rebirth right there. If you want, I'll join in and ask a few questions if you can't get too personal with your own wife, you know? You might want to. Yeah,
well,
maybe that's
the better way to present it, because you know how when you like try to have conversation with your own family members, how sometimes it doesn't go so well. Maybe we'll tee it up and say, Ab was really wondering if you would consider going on with him. He just has some questions about, you know, the pre-fall of Russia, or when you grew up as a child, just in a communist state. He just has some questions. Would you be open? And man, I'd just listen in, and you and she can have a conversation. I think that would be awesome.
I'd love to know about communism because I don't want it. I'd love to hear about two. We don't eat a lot of meat. Well, we do love meat, but I'd love to hear these stories of what's going down.
Yeah, and the thing that everybody should keep in mind in listening to this stuff is just think about our own kids right now. Think about if you're 5 years old.
Yeah.
And 2020 became the year to where all of this nonsense is being normalized. You know, there could be a point 20 years from now where 20 years from now where people will look back and they'll judge, they'll say, I can't believe these kids grew up and it was just normal to them that you wear masks and that you social distance and you all this bullshit. And same goes for communist Russia. It was just normal for them that you just didn't buy meat. And you justify it in your own mind by saying, oh, meat's not good for you. You know, that's why we you know, we'll have meat twice a year just to celebrate, but it's really not good for you. You do that just to rationalize, you know, what you don't have. That would be a great show. I'll ask her if she'd be open to that after she gets back from vacation.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be too long unless she's got a lot to say. But it'd be pretty interesting.
You're the last person on the planet I worry about, you know, being able to hold a conversation together and move it forward. So your curiosity would make it a great show. And she's a beautiful woman, and I think it'd be nice having her on. I think people would like her.
Oh, it'd be great. It would be great. What was she really? She was there during the height of the USSR, really?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. Because she was born in 74. So.
Yeah, and it was going strong until at least 89, I guess. So she had at least 15 years of it.
Was
in
89 or 95? I can't remember. I think it was 95.
Yeah, well, the Berlin Wall and 89 or somewhere around 1990, and then I guess Russia kind of fell with it.
Yeah, they lagged. Yeah.
Gorbachev is their big globalist who really facilitated the whole place.
Yeah.
Gorby, yeah, I call him.
The man
the guy with
bird dropping on his head.
Yeah, I thought it was a map of a European country.
Oh, a bird shit map of Europe. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, bud. I'm out. I'm going to go. We'll talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's all, folks.